Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That's The Love I Saw in You Was Just a Mirage by Smokey and the Miracles. The you in this question would be not the University of Memphis Tigers, but the prospect of a trip to the Sweet 16.
We'll get to the Grizzlies in a moment. They had a good weekend. But you were with me in Columbus, and so I want to start with the excellent Cincinnati chili. Cincinnati, known for its chili. You stopped. You'd had it before, I presume, hadn't you?
Oh, no.
You'd never had it before?
I've never been to Cincinnati before. This is not something that exists anywhere else, by the way.
And there's a reason for that.
Right.
Exactly right. Cincinnati chili's freaking awful.
It is.
Where did you went to Skyline?
I did not go to Skyline.
Oh, okay.
I went. We tried to go to this place called Camp Washington. But it closed at 4 on Saturday, the day we were there. So we ended up at the Blue Ash Diner, which is another recommended place. But I think, I doubt there's a lot of variation between the various.
It's chili on spaghetti noodles.
So first of all, I don't think the chili's good. I don't think the chili by itself or the chili in some other form would be good because it's, like, not spicy and it's kind of sweet and it's kind of weird. But then, like, I wasn't surprised because I always thought this sounded like the worst possible regional food. And then my wife was like, I mean, we're here. We should check the box so we can say we've had it.
Right.
And so we did it. And it was, I have to say, it was even worse than I anticipated. And my expectations were extremely low because it's not just like chili with spaghetti with cheese on top.
Uh-huh.
Like, I am so perplexed that this has been around for 100 years and there's two things they never figured out. One, come to Memphis and have some barbecue spaghetti and learn to finish the pasta in some kind of chili oil or sauce to infuse the pasta itself with flavor. It's just like...
Is that how barbecue...
At the barbecue shop it is.
The part you made was that if we're talking about celebrated regional dishes, barbecue spaghetti should be celebrated...
Most people even in Memphis don't even know it's a thing in Memphis.
And so, but the key to the barbecue shop barbecue spaghetti is...
They finish... You start cooking the pasta in the water, get it al dente or whatever, and then you finish it in some, like, dripping... barbecue drippings, and so you would just like in good Italian spaghetti, you infuse the sauce in the pasta, you infuse the smoky barbecue stuff in the pasta. So this is just like
white.
This is just white, cold, basic spaghetti noodles on a plate. So the pasta itself has no taste. So that's strike one. Yes. It took them 100 years. They still haven't figured that part out. And then the cheese is not melted. You can't even put it under a heat lamp for a minute to melt the cheese a little bit. It's just this mountain of, like, cold, shredded, like, you know, basic processed, like, Kroger brand shredded cheddar cheese. And it's so weird and perplexing to me. Shout out to people who love it, though. I offended
there
one of our mutual friends
by
tweeting about it. I'm sure he's offended all over again if he's listening. I apologize. Love you, dude. But not the chili. Sorry. Not for me.
Well, it was a week of disappointment then because you then were there.
Yeah.
First of all, it was fun watching the Purdue game, although I feel so sick for those fans. The Purdue fans, like, it's humiliating to lose as a one, but that was a fun thing to witness.
For listeners who may not know, I was there. I was not there. I was there as a civilian, as a tag-along, not as a writer like you. And so I drove into town that day. So I got into Columbus at, like, 6 p.m. or whatever.
Right.
And so my wife was already, she had a work dinner that I was tagging along to, and they were already there. They'd already ordered by the time, like, I got to our hotel room. So I a quick change and hustled over there, and we had the dinner. whatever. And it's all walking distance. Where we were staying and the dinner and the arena all, like, right clustered together. So it's all walking distance stuff. By the way, freezing in Columbus.
Cold-ass weekend.
Yeah, when the wind chill is bad.
Off.
And so after dinner, my wife wanted to change, so we walked back to the hotel to change. And I looked at my phone. I was like, oh, we got to get back to the arena. It was like a one-point game at halftime right. between the 16 and the 1. And our ticket allowed us into that game too. I'm like, no. We gotta get there for this. Yeah, you right. may not care, but I want to be there in case this happens. And I didn't know at the time that our seats were two rows behind the FDU bench.
God.
So I was sitting right behind those dudes the entire second half, and that was great. That was great. Every time there was a timeout in the second half, there was some, like, I don't know whether the guy had played early on, but he wasn't playing in the stretch of the game. There's some little white guy who was like, you know, the coaches are off on their own conferring, and the players are there waiting for the coaches to come over. And this guy is, like, going player by player, and he's barking out instructions, and he's clapping, and he's pointing at them, and he's getting them fired up. And then he looks over his shoulder, he sees the coaches coming, and he scurries over out of the way while the coaches come. So that was great. That was great. I will always remember having been
there. It is a fun deal when people get behind the when they get behind the 16, isn't it? Like,
it was only the second time it's ever happened.
Yeah.
So I was witness to history. I'll always remember that, at least.
And then the other game happened. And let's be honest, they threw the ball away when KD had the ball and he threw the ball away, and that was the key moment. Let's back up.
There's three things about that game, and they all three conspired for the outcome. And two of them I think have been well discussed. Maybe the other has too, and I've just missed it. But I actually got to say, and I tweeted this before the tip. I watched the layup line. I was like, oh, this team might be good.
Yeah,
that was not a case of the Tiger, I don't believe, having just watched the one game. But I was right there, watched every second of that game, up close. That was not the case of the Tigers losing to some clearly inferior team.
No.
That was a good team. And the talent level, the Tigers probably had individually the two best players, but like 1 through 8 or 1 through 9, however many players were playing, there was not a big talent difference after that. And in fact, the two best big men in the game, I don't consider Johnny Williams a real big man. The two best big men in the game were like both for that other team. I couldn't believe they were bringing that one dude off the bench.
Right, exactly.
The guy they brought off the bench was who had like 15 or whatever in the game, Rosado or whatever his name was this wide-bodied dude who had footwork, who had a soft touch, who could make free throws. I don't know how he was coming off the bench as a backup center from some mid-major college dude.
Well, I mean, it was only a 2.5-point spread. It's an 8-9 game.
These dudes were throwing, like, windmill dunks in the layup line. It did not look like – not only did it not look like Fairleigh Dickinson, it didn't look like Purdue.
Right. Oh, no.
I don't know.
Yeah, right, yeah. Anyway, it was –
so that said, and that,
now it sets
– in addition to them being good, it was self-inflicted wounds, and I do think the officiating was inconsistent and bad in a way that worked against the University of Memphis, 100%.
Okay. Moving on, in the meantime, you, because you were traveling, did not take in these Grizzlies games. I don't know if you took it in by...
Because the Warriors game was on NBA TV, which for some... I was started flipping through. We got to the hotel, and I guess we were in Cincinnati that night. I started flipping through. I'm like, they're not going to have NBA TV, but I'll flip through just in case. They had NBA TV, so I saw, because we retired early, I saw the last three quarters of the Warriors game.
Yeah. Come back from 29 down to beat the...
Spurs. That was happening right in the middle.
In miraculous like that, fashion,
That comeback was basically concluded, I think, at halftime of the Tigers game.
And then they beat the hell out of the Warriors again. Convincingly, they beat the Warriors again.
Yeah.
I wish I were there.
Both times in Memphis.
It was fun. And Dylan Brooks.
It was the Dylan
Brooks weekend. Hit the three-pointer to send it, and on Friday. And then he absolutely... Are you amused? Like watching Dylan Brooks?
Absolutely. I have tended to be more pro Dylan Brooks than the average,
right.
And so like I place enormous value on what he does defensively. And you know there are times certainly when he goes too far, and we've had a couple of those this season, notably. But him barking in the faces of the guys he's defending, yes, hell yes, I'm all for it.
God, it's so much fun. It is so much fun. And he shot well, too.
Yeah.
You can't count on, but he that was tremendous. After a while, don't you think pointing to four rings if you're Clay gets to be tired?
Yeah, it gets to be old. And I love the jokes of, like, he's pointing to the number of road wins they have this season.
Yeah, it's just like after a while, it's like if that's what you want to do, go retire.
Right.
Like,
go retire
and stand on your four wins. We're actually still playing basketball here.
Right.
And they're beating your ass. So that was fun. And it is kind of nice the way they have steadied themselves. What this stretch without Steven Adams and without Ja, what has unfolded?
That's a good question, and I may be trying to delve more into that today. I'm trying to think about what I'm going to write. Maybe you and I will discuss that off air as I try to figure out my reentry point. You know, I think, you know, Dylan has been in a good stretch. I mean, they've gone, I want to say it's 6-3, maybe it's 5-3, and I'm assuming a win tonight. Maybe that was the 6-3, but they've really steadied themselves. They've been good without Ja. You know, schedule has something to do with that. It's been heavy at home. They've been missing some opposing players. But I think you look, you know, individually, player by player, Dylan is having his best stretch of the season. Jaren is having, from a scoring standpoint, and from this is the best three-game stretch of his career in terms of consistent 25-plus every night. Tyus has had some bad stretches this season, but whenever he stepped into the starting lineup, he has been great. He had a triple-double, I think, in the Spurs game. I assume that was career first. I haven't had a chance to delve into that. Had 14 assists. Yeah, 14 assists against the Warriors, which also may have been a career high. Roddy has emerged.
Luke Kennard's hitting shots.
Kennard is the efficiency of his shooting is everything advertised. It's a question of getting the shots or not, right? And that's been a little bit better lately. And I really think Tillman, I think an interesting thing is that, because we don't know whether they're going to get Steven Adams back come playoff time. And the point I would make, and I'll probably write about this at some point, they basically didn't have Steven Adams in the playoffs last year. In the first round, it was by choice. And in the second round, it was first by COVID, and then he came back for like a game and a half, and then he got banged up, and he wasn't himself. So they sort of they didn't really have him mostly in the playoffs last year, and they made it to, you know, game six against the eventual champions. But last year, Tillman hadn't played all year, and just got thrown in. Well, now he's been starting for a month and a half and is in a really good groove and playing really well. And so, you know, they've developed some cohesion and some rhythm, and they're playing well together, and the individual guys are playing well. And, like, doesn't work every night because they go into Miami, they get slapped around. But Ja, as he comes back, is coming back to a team that is playing pretty good basketball. And in the context of a conference, that's a total mess.
The conference is a total mess right now. Well, that brings me to the other issue, because I don't know when. I guess you wrote about when Ja had his sit down, such as it was.
We haven't talked since then because you were traveling.
I was on the road. You talked to Jeffrey about it. And now we already knew that he wasn't going to play tonight, but he will be back, we presume, either Wednesday or Friday, don't you presume?
Yeah, my working assumption is Wednesday. I don't know that for certain.
Right.
I did know for certain that he wasn't going to play Monday night. I reported that on Twitter the day that his return was announced. But I don't know. But my tea leaf reading says he's going to play on Wednesday, but I don't know that for sure.
So just to recap, it is interesting. You reach a point where you're just sick of this stuff. You know, like I'm kind of like now we got to go through it. I presume he's going to talk here about the stuff at one point.
What I've heard is he's likely to talk to. I don't know if this is not certain either.
Right.
But I have heard that he is likely to talk tomorrow. They'll practice tomorrow. He's likely to be available because if he's going to play on Wednesday, I think he'll probably be available. If they decide to hold him till Friday, maybe not. So I mean, this is all guesswork. I do think, to your point, I mean, and I don't know whether this is part of PR strategy or not, but in some ways, they sort of benefit from fatigue a little bit. Like, you do the Jalen Williams thing, which is tightly controlled.
Jalen Rose.
And tightly Jalen Rose thing. What did I say?
Tightly. I
said something wrong. Yeah, Jalen Rose. Uh-huh. It was so tightly controlled that, again, we haven't talked about this. I found it notable when he's doing his litany and asking about all the incidents. He didn't ask him about the incident in the pickup game. I can only assume he was told we're not going to talk about that, because otherwise why would you remember the mall thing and not the pickup thing, right?
Right.
Maybe there's some legal reason why we're not talking about that one. And so they do this tightly controlled Jalen Rose interview and then radio silence for like a week or whatever it's going to be. And maybe you're banking a little bit on like, you know,
question
or fatigue. Yeah. We're all going to be there, supposed to be asking questions. And we're like, you know, because we know we're not going to hear anything good. And so I don't know. We got to buck up. Maybe we need to take a nap and get ready to.
So your thought was fundamentally that it was just tightly controlled, and as you would have imagined.
Completely. I didn't.
It felt like the questions were even scripted, 100%, didn't it? Like the questions weren't, sit down, we're going to ask you anything. It just didn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
The most, I'm almost reluctant to bring this up, but I'll go ahead and do it, because I'm surprised there hasn't been more attention paid to this. And I think everyone just wants to move on, and I just sort of want to move on too, because nothing bad happened, and let's all move on. But if we're being real about it, the most interesting part of that interview was when he asked him about what happened after the Indiana game. And he said, you know, there was a report of, like, lasers. I think he even asked him, if like, was there a gun or whatever. And John Morant's response to that was, the NBA investigated and found no evidence. John Morant's inside the car.
Right.
That was a notable response. And we're just all going to move on, I guess.
Right. But even, didn't the NBA, even from the thing in Denver, didn't they conclude they found no evidence that it was his?
Yeah, people
did not. I saw someone.
My wife and I were listening. We were listening to, shout out to Nate Duncan, who was a logger before he started broadcasting the NBA, because he talked about this, and my wife and I were talking about it in the car. I've seen like major national NBA reporters like not understand this, and Nate Duncan like was very clear about it. It was a very precise statement by the NBA. If you move, you take the same group of words and flip two of them, you have a totally different meaning. And so I'm probably going to get this wrong off the cuff, but they did not conclude that John Morant. Their conclusion was not that John Morant did not own the gun or did not have it on a team
or
facility or whatever. It's that they did not conclude that
he did have it. Right. Yes.
It's inconclusive.
It was totally inconclusive. It's the same thing as the Indiana.
It was not exonerating. It was inconclusive on both counts. Yes.
Right. But obviously, we hope.
But nothing bad happened. So we're hoping to move on and not have to deal
nothing
with incidents
really
like
bad
this again.
Did happen.
That's right.
That's the thing. It wasn't nothing bad happened. And the truth of the matter is that if this means he's going to be tucking in earlier at night and working on his jumper,
it'll be all for the better.
That'll be all for the better in the end.
Yep.
In terms of the I know what the reaction's going to be. It's going to be thunderous applause and whatever else. But in terms of integrating him back into this team that has hit a nice little groove. Do you think that's seamless?
I don't know if it's seamless, but I don't think it's an enormous deal. I mean, everyone knows they need Ja Morant to compete at the highest level, so that's like a known. There are some adjustments there. You know, I think Tyus Jones has been better when he's been a starter than when he's been coming off the bench. And is there something you do? Is there something you do as Taylor Jenkins? You know, do you adjust your substitution patterns to maybe get him in the game earlier and get him more minutes alongside other starters and change the way you play a little bit to try to keep his momentum going instead of having him sort of disappear again as he has sometimes when he's been a true bench player. You know, the Dylan Brooks thing, he has tended to shoot less when Ja plays and shoot more when Ja doesn't. And I know he's been making shots lately. That's not a gamble. That's not dice I want to roll. And so will he recede back to being like, you know, he only took, I think, 10 shots against Golden State. But will he like step back in the pecking order offensively but maintain his sort of revved up defense? There are some adjustments people need to make, but they're necessary adjustments because you need Ja Morant.
In terms of the West, you mentioned the West being a mess. Right now, Grizzlies would play Dallas in the 3-6, who they're in fact playing tonight. That's what would happen. But they're tied with Sacramento, so they could easily be playing the winner of the 7-8 game, which is Golden State and Oklahoma City.
For now. Who knows
for
what this is going to be.
Freaking Oklahoma City. But it could be Minnesota. It could be the Lakers. It could be the Clippers.
Right.
It could be Dallas. I'm pretty clear. I would like it to – well, I mean, if I could have Oklahoma City, I'll do that. Thank you. But otherwise, for purposes of my convenience – I would like Minnesota or Dallas.
Yep.
Honestly.
For purposes of drama and storyline, you want the Warriors.
Exactly, want the Warriors. So it depends on what you like.
So let's do one of those three. At least you check one of the boxes, right? Let's not deal with the Clippers or whatever.
Yes, let's not deal with the Clippers here. Do you have a particular thought about any of these teams that are in this mosh pit?
It's so hard. It's so dependent on like what team we're really going to take into the playoffs. I mean, is Dallas going to have like Luka and Kyrie, and is that both healthy and ready to go? And does that make them a fundamentally different team? Are the Wolves really going to try to bring back Karl-Anthony Towns at this late stage? And what's that going to do for them?
I think the Lakers are going to make Lakers right now.
Is
by
LeBron
the way,
coming back?
10th,
I don't know.
Lakers 10th, tied. It's Minnesota, and the Lakers are tied for 9 and 10, but also essentially tied with Utah and also really kind of tied with New Orleans, really. Like, they're all right there. Are the Lakers going to make it?
I got to say, this whole thing's a bad look for the Portland Trailblazers.
Bad look for the Portland Trailblazers.
I mean, that's a team that wanted to be there, and they've fallen off the map, you know, and New Orleans, too, for that matter.
San Antonio, Houston are doing it right, man. They're doing what they set out to do. But yes, it's a bad look.
But Denver looked shaky, and Phoenix, you know, hadn't got Durant back, and we'll see. And like, I, you know, keep hope alive, as Jesse Jackson once said.
All right, that is Chris Harrington.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.